Praise the Lord. He is worthy this morning. Amen. Well, I'm going to preach a message today entitled Identity Theft. Now, I'm sure most of you today are familiar with the term identity theft. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure somewhere along the way you've heard the term identity theft. Now, I first of all want to say I hope that you have not been a victim of identity theft. I want to give you, in fact, I think I heard someone say I have. I think some of us have more than we realize, as you'll understand when I get into this message. But God has a solution, amen? Here's the more complex definition of identity theft. It's this. It says, the fraudulent appropriation and use of someone's identity or personal data or documents, such as a credit card or a passport. Now, I like simple definitions. I think most of you can relate to this simple definition. It really means this: stealing the identity of others. Now, how many of you know what identity theft is? How many of you have heard of identity theft? It's real. And I want to tell you, folks, there are many people and lives and families and reputations that have been destroyed because of identity theft. In fact, I Googled the words identity theft, and I began to read and look into the definition, and I began to read a few stories. I quickly stopped reading about people's lives who have been destroyed by identity theft. I mean, it's real. This is a very real issue in our world today, identity theft. Again, I pray that you have not been a victim of identity theft. But I want you to really tune in, and I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. There is a spiritual application this morning that I want to present to you today regarding identity theft. Because far too many people in our world today have had their true identity stolen from them. Now, many people, from a spiritual standpoint, have been victims of identity theft. Folks, I've been doing this long enough now. I've seen things, say, in the last 5 years and what's gone on in our world and how people have been affected by it, and it's alarming to me. It's alarming to me. There are things that we have encountered. There are things that we have observed that the body of Christ has encountered, that our world, that 5 years ago you would have dreamed of. And I'll be honest with you, I thought I was a little more equipped and prepared than in reality I have been. Identity theft is real in the natural, and spiritual identity theft is very, very real. You ought to turn to your neighbor and say, this thing on identity theft is real. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says this. You may want to turn there. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But I want you to listen to what Jesus said, and I'm going to repeat this many times. He said, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I want to say, I'm mad in a good way today. I mean, you know, you can be mad in a good way. There is a such thing in the Bible as a righteous anger. For example, when Jesus went to the temple and he saw that they had turned his house into something of a money-making venture rather than a house of prayer, he turned the money over and the tables over, and he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It's okay to be angry in a righteous way. I'm angry this morning, and I'm angry because the devil, who is a thief, has been stealing the true identity of God's people long enough. I say long enough. Now, I don't want you to ever be confused about who is doing the stealing And who is doing the blessing? See, people, because we don't know who we are, we're not sure if God's ripping us off. We're not sure anymore if it's the devil. And I'll tell you how you know that, because you look up and say, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Hey, folks, listen. According to this verse, the devil is one who steals. See, we forget that we are in a spiritual warfare, and so what we do, because we forget, we unknowingly forfeit who we are in God. The devil is one who steals. And not only does he steal, he kills. You want to know who kills? The devil kills. You want to know who takes people out in the prime of their life? It is the devil who kills. And what else does he do? He destroys, which really means to obliterate. I'm mad today. And I'm praying and I'm hoping that this is something that is contagious. I'm praying that you catch this disease, this righteous anger that causes you to get up and say, hey, I'm tired of being ripped off by the devil. Never be confused about who's doing the stealing and who's doing the blessing. In this verse, it's revealed to us. I want to say it again because I want you to get it this week as you go about your life. I want you to get it. I want you to remember this. In this verse, we have revealed to me and you the description of Satan. And we also have the description of God. What did it say? The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's the thief. That is his MO. That is his job description. That's what, regardless of what he tells you, what you hear, that is exactly what he's going to do. He is going to try his best to rip you off. And how many of you know that when he comes to you, he starts with the little things? This is the reason we should all guard against deception, and I'll get to it a little later. There are some ways to avoid identity theft. But you got to know who you are. You have to know who the thief is, and you have to know who God is. God said, I want to satisfy you with a rich and satisfying life. Man, that's exciting to me. In this time, in this day, and in this age where we're seeing the spirit of Antichrist everywhere, we're hearing all these reports, these doomsday reports about it's all just about over. We're hearing that, you know, America is in a nightmare situation. Let me tell you something. God is still in the business of blessing His people with a rich and satisfying life. You ought to give Him a praise. Don't be confused. Don't be confused in your mind. Don't let the devil, who is a liar and accuser, come to you and tell you anything otherwise. Now, it's my belief that one of the ways that Satan attempts to get back at God for his demise or his fall that is spoken of in Isaiah and Ezekiel. You know, Satan was in heaven at one time. He was the man. Next to the man. How many of you know that? Satan was somebody. He was, hey, listen, you need to listen to me, worship people. He was the worship leader in heaven. If you don't believe it, go read Ezekiel 28. You think worship is not important to God? Oh, worship is important to God. You think the devil's not always trying to contaminate and mess up your worship and the worship of a church? I can assure you he is. Because he's a thief. He it says in Isaiah 5 times. He said, I will. I will. Anytime I exert my will or something that is not God's will, I'm listen, folks, I'm not in the spirit. I will have my way. Hey, I found if you walk with God, you may not always have your way. You will have a rich and satisfying life, but you may not always have your way. And just because you've got a little target plan and got everything laid out doesn't mean it'll work out that way. I'll tell you, because the devil's going to try to mess with it. But listen, God does want to give you a rich and satisfying life. I want to hear some praise today. You see, I think Satan, and I not only think it, I know it, he continually attacks and steals from God's people our proper identity. See, he knows if he can get us all scrambled in our thinking and get us all messed up and we don't know who we are when we get up, and contrary to what we want to say, and it's a good thing to be friendly and be nice when people say, how you doing? But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of confusion right now. There's a lot of consternation of soul. There's a lot of doubt about who God is and about what God said He's been. I'm going to tell you, that confusion is not coming from God. Satan's just taking advantage of the circumstances which the Bible has told us are going to come. There's nothing happening right now that the Bible has not told us would happen. I just didn't think I would be here when it all happened. I didn't think I'd have to deal with all the stuff that goes with the times that we live in. I don't know what I thought. Yeah, I don't know. Some of you are thinking the same thing. Come on. Some of you, now I can tell, I'm hitting home. You're smiling now. How about you? I had my little life all plotted out. And, oh, let me tell you, when Jesus called me to be a preacher, hey, I was kind of like David in the Bible. I was all excited, but then I realized it's going to be about 20 years of preparation for each level that you go through to get you ready for the next one. I didn't know I was going to have to be crushed in between each little exaltation that the Lord brought about in my life. I just didn't know that. You know, I was and am the man of power for the hour. Everybody just move over. Yeah. Some of you thought that in your family lives, and you thought that in your businesses, but how many of you know life doesn't always work out that way? Why? Because we're challenged by a thief. He is a thief. He steals. He may come and talk real nice to you for a little while. He knows Scripture. The sad thing is Satan knows Scripture better than believers know it. He can't, hey, come on, you need to get this. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but how many of you know he knows how to quote Scripture? He came and quoted the 91st Psalm to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, just throw yourself off the pillar of the temple here and everything will be fine. God's angels will take you up and protect you. Thank God Jesus knew the Scripture, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Jesus knew who He was. I believe that Satan is after our true identity. And he does this primarily in two ways. And I'm going to break those two ways down, but I want to say this first. Satan steals our real identity through accusation. Through accusation. Now, Satan hadn't produced anything new since he fell. I mean, think about the description of who he is. He's a thief. He's a stealer. He's a liar. He's an accuser. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. And the Bible says he is a master accuser. Wow. Wouldn't you want that on your, when you go to get a job, wouldn't you want that? Well, what have you done all your day? What's your, well, I lied, went against God. I've got my own will, my own plan. I don't like God anymore, and I'm trying to destroy His people. And I'm an accuser. I'm a thief. Hey, praise the Lord. What a job description. Man, what a job description. I think he's ticked off. I think he's, listen to me, any of you who try, and a lot of you are, you're trying to, in fact, I think God just heard the Lord say, all of you here today are trying to move on with God. Let me tell you something, he's not going to sit back. The people that he's not bothering are people who aren't doing anything but just kind of going with the flow of the world. You're here because you don't want to go with the flow of the world. You may have your challenges there. You may not have figured out how to do it. But let me tell you what he does to steal your identity. Number one, he does this. He accuses God, think about this, of being a liar. Satan, make no bones about it. He will tell you when you are tired, when you are weary, when you are down. He will come, and what he will do, he will tell you, God is a liar. If God was who He said He was, you wouldn't be experiencing what you're experiencing right now. If God was who He said He was, you wouldn't still be sick. If you're identifying now, see these looks like, well, maybe. No, ain't no maybe to it. If God was who He said He was, why hadn't He answered that prayer? You know what he's doing? He's accusing God of being a liar. Now, we either believe the word or we don't. The Bible says God is not a man that he can lie. God cannot lie. See, we're trying to reduce God to our own image and our own way with our fallen nature. We're trying to think, well, yeah, we're creating the image of God. We can lie. God can lie. No, God cannot lie. We cannot fathom that, and we don't fully understand. It is impossible for God to tell a lie. That's what the Bible says more than once. Now, if you have an issue with the Bible, then I don't know what other source you're going to go to. I guess you're just going to have to drift with this world. But I'm telling you, this world's in trouble, folks. He accuses God of being a liar. And you know what else he does? He accuses me and you by telling us that we're not who we say we are. You're not a child of God. You did this and you did that. If you were a child of God, why would you still do this? Or would you do that? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why we still do those things that we know we shouldn't do is because we're letting Satan steal our identity and we hadn't quite figured out who we are, and he's lying to us about who God is and who God is not and who we are. That's why we're doing some things. When you have a moment where you realize again who you are and what God wants to do in you, all this stuff that you think you're held in bondage to and that you think you can't overcome, let me tell you, it drops off quick and it drops off fast. Praise the Lord. He's an accuser and he's mad. Now, unlike humanity who can come to God and receive redemption, poor old Satan, he's out. He's out. No heaven, just hell. Uh-oh, somebody say, oh, now he's going to start preaching on hell. Let me just put hell in perspective. Why did God create hell? A loving God. I'm not going to stay on this too long. Loving God would never send anybody to hell. You're exactly right. The Bible makes clear why God created hell. It is for Satan and his fallen angels. That's why hell was created. Come on, don't follow them. Don't follow them. Do you not want to go to hell? Oh, I swear I'm never going to preach like this. Do you not want to go to hell? Then don't follow Satan. Follow Jesus. That's pretty simple. The only problem is there is a problem, and it's our sin nature. And folks, that's the reason we do things that we don't want to do, and that's the reason that we get our identity stolen, because we've got a sin nature and we yield to it occasionally. God help us. And he will, and he does. Who is the man who's never committed any sin? Let him stand up and cast the first stone. There are none. He's an accuser. So many are experiencing kind of a beat down today. This world is not Christian friendly now. Have you observed that? You know? This world is not Christian friendly. Amen. Some of you had some friends who used to be very close to, and all of a sudden, they're not friendly either to you anymore. Some of them, you know why? They don't want to press on in. You know, it comes across, and I can hear the Lord saying, come on, let's move on, son. But let me tell you something. Sometimes when you move on with God, not everybody moves on with God around you. Hello. Folks, sometimes, you know, oh, we heard one of the greatest sermons about this. Oh, we want to be accepted, and I understand that, and God understands that, but let me tell you something, friends. If you move on with God, and I'm telling you, it is a new season. Not everybody around you may move on with God. And that's what makes it difficult. You love them, and you don't want to be condemning. You don't want to reject your friends. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, God's wanting to say it, because I wasn't going to say it today. Sometimes you got to move on without them. Sometimes people are just happy at the level they're at. The only problem with staying at the same level you were at a few years ago, God has moved on. Folks, let me tell you something. Satan is an accuser. He is a master accuser. He is the creator of accusation. In fact, when he's accusing, he's at his best game. He's at his best game. Revelation 12 and 10 says, Satan, it says this, he is referred to as the accuser of our brethren. That's when he's at his best. So with all that said, I want to ask you a question this morning. And I really want you to think about this. I want you to start thinking about this again. Who are we? Let's personalize it. Who are you? No. I'm not talking about in your natural life, the one that you want to be or the one you conjured up. I'm asking you, according to God's Word, who are you? What does God's Word say about who we are? In other words, to go back to kind of the theme of this message, what is our true identity? I want to give you three identities about the people of God, and I want you to really take these to heart. They may seem so simple to them. You may have heard them preached a million times, but I'm praying that God will take these. Some of you may hear them for the first time, but I want you to hear them in your spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to take them and massage them and put them in your spirit, so when you get up tomorrow and the accuser is there again, and he will be, you stand up and say, wrong. And you get to where you don't even identify to him. You don't even listen to his voice. Number one, we are the sons and daughters of God. I know we hear that. And we just kind of gloss it over. Come on, preacher, give me something heavy, man. I am giving you something that's real. We are the sons and daughters of God. At this point, when somebody starts preaching, you've got to kind of turn off all that negative stuff and say, listen, I'm not going to listen to the negative stuff. I'm going to listen to the Word of God. You are a son and a daughter of God. And listen to me. I'm telling you, God is telling me to say this. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, where you've gone. God is your Father, and you are His sons, and you are His daughters. Come on, give Him a great big praise. This is what John chapter 1 verses 10 through 12 say. It says, He came. Now listen to this. I find this interesting. He came into the very world He created. But the world did not recognize Him. There's not a whole lot new in the earth today. They're still not recognizing Him. Verse 11 says, He came to His own, and even they rejected Him. But verse 12 says, But to all who believe Him and accept Him, He gave them the right to become the children of God. Do you believe that Jesus is who He said He was? Then that makes you a child of God. Have you turned your heart to Him and turned your life to Him? If that is the case, you are a son and a daughter of God. You know what I'm doing? I'm trying to put the Word of God in you today. And I don't want you to filter the Word of God. I want you to filter that other stuff. I want you by faith to receive what God says about you. You know, I heard some really good things this week, and one of the things we heard is, you know, if you study the Bible, it doesn't talk about feelings a whole lot. But we often say when we hear something like that, we go into negative mode. I don't feel like son and daughter of God. You know why? We've lost our identity. We're listening to the wrong folks. Listen, Satan will show up in church. We just kind of think, this is some kind of sacred and holy ground. This is only sacred and holy ground. We come in here and worship God and invite God in here, then it becomes sacred and holy. Otherwise, it's just chairs, carpet, and buildings, and lights, and noise, and sound systems, and stuff. We are sons and daughters of God. Here's what Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 16 say. It says, So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Right now, a lot of people are in fear, and they're trying to keep a good confession. They're trying to be positive, but we've developed in these times, and I say it's changing, and it is going to change, a slave mentality. He says, instead, you have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. You have been adopted into the family of God. You are the children of God. You are the sons and daughters of God. He says, now we call Him Abba, Father. We're the children of God. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 18 says, and it says, "And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." I like that. You and I are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. That means He is the supreme God. We're not just serving some kind of a sub-God or a wannabe God. We are serving the supreme Almighty God. That's worthy of a woo-hoo or a praise the Lord or a stand up and shake your legs. Something. But how many of you know there are privileges to being a son and a daughter of God? Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 say, "And because we are His children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, promoting us, or prompting us to call out, Abba, Father." Verse 7 says, "Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own children." Now listen, here's one of the benefits. "And since you are His child, God has made you His heir." Not only are you a child of God, but you are an heir of God. Some of you, this is going to start resonating with you this week as you start doing life again. You're going to be in a situation, you're going to say, "You know what, I don't have to submit to that. I don't have to be in that because I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God." How many of you know it's a good thing to be a child of God? But how many of you know it's a really good thing to be an heir of God? Let me tell you what an heir is. To be an heir doesn't mean this first. Let me say it. Doesn't mean that you won't ever have any hardships or suffering. Now come on. That's one picture that is becoming clear. The body of Christ is understanding just because you're a child or you're an heir doesn't mean you're going to not necessarily have to suffer or have hardships. Somebody said, "I like this message until you brought that hardship and suffering stuff into it." Well, go talk to them in China, where they're still suffering. Go talk to them in Egypt and Iran and Pakistan and tell them this message, and they'll say, "Hey, man, we can identify." But Galatians 3 and 29 says this, "And now you belong to Christ. You are the true children of Abraham. You are His heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." Why? Because you are an heir of God. You're a child of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. But you are an heir of God. What does that mean, preacher? An heir of God. Listen. Here's the definition. It means those who will inherit the estate of a deceased person. Ever heard of the Son of God called Jesus who died on an old rugged cross and who went into a grave and who was resurrected out of that grave? Ever heard the name Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Folks, listen to me. You are an heir of God because of Jesus. He was deceased, and I say was deceased, so you could become an heir of God. He died. Do we get that? Come on, nod if you get it. He died. Now thank God He rose again. Hallelujah. And He conquered the grave. But that doesn't change the fact that He died and that that makes us sons and daughters of God, but not only that, we are heirs of God. That's who we are. Listen to Galatians 3 and 29. He says, "And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are His heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belong to you." Do you realize what all God promised Abraham? Come on now, listen. I am pro-prosperity money. But that's kind of where the message of Abraham, you know, Abraham was rich, so we're all going to be rich. That God said, "I'll give you a rich and satisfying life." But folks, Abraham was the father of faith. And he obtained promises that seemed to be impossible. How many of you know? How many of you want a new child when you're about 99 years old? You want a new child to come on the scene? Not me. No. Maybe some spiritual babies. I'll take some spiritual babies. But he says here, you are sons and daughters of God. Some of you got that too. You're back there going, yeah. You got it. And some of you younger ones are saying, I want a baby. God will bless you with a baby. Come on, I'll anoint you for babies. Just be married first, please. You know, you got to be careful. That's not politically correct anymore, you know. Whatever that means. I love you. Here's what an heir is. It's a person designated by law to succeed ownership of the property of the deceased. Some of you are saying, I can't wait till grandma passes on. I said that so you could relate to what it means to be an heir. Oh, now I get it. I'm going to get the barn. I'm going to get the tractor. I'll get $10,000 or $100,000. Some of you said, man, I can't wait. That's really not the message here, but I wanted you to understand the concept of being an heir. My parents always said, hey, we're going to spend it before we go, so go make your own. Praise the Lord. Dang. So, well, I guess if they did it in their lifetime, I can do it too. So praise the Lord for that. Love you, Mom. I'm an heir of my mom. Oh, you are? What a pinch. One time when we were real little, I'm going to ignore her right now because she's trying to preach too. It's dangerous when your mom comes to church where you go to, where you preach. She's going to give me another pinch. When I was little, we were trying to go to church one time or some meeting somewhere, and I was always doing what I'm doing right now, showing out and doing things, and she couldn't get me to calm down, so she tried the only thing she knew to do. She gave me a little pinch on the leg, and guess what? I just went up a notch or two. And I just screamed.